Well, greetings to everyone in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good to see everyone. It's good to see some visitors, some that I have known from years. I have some history with some connections here this morning, and it's my privilege to worship together with you all. First off, before I get into the message, we'll be in Ephesians 6 again here this morning. Working through Ephesians, we'll be in Ephesians 6, starting in Ephesians 6 this morning. Thank you for your prayers this past week. We had a good time traveling out to Memphis, Tennessee. Safety travel there. Good board meeting. Come back yesterday. And then we got one more trip lined up for this coming weekend. We're riding up to Pennsylvania to be with Sharon's family this weekend. We celebrate her dad's birthday, and we'll be there for church on Sunday. So we will be, y'all will be in our thoughts and prayers. We will miss you all next Sunday. Ephesians 6. The first four verses we will read here this morning. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Father, help me. Help us, Lord. We are all children in one way or another. Every one of us have a parent or parents. And we even have you as a Heavenly Father. And we thank you. Give us understanding of your word. Help us to know how to apply this to our lives. Because this morning's message, it applies to everyone here this morning. I don't care how old we are. It applies to everyone here this morning. So give us understanding. Help us. Help me to know how to apply it to our lives and my life, Lord. We give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a story here to read for you. And it goes like this. On May 3, 1999, the most deadly of all tornadoes, a Category 5, ripped through Oklahoma town of Bridge Creek. Kara Weiss, I guess, or Wise, age 26, just wrapped her six-month-old son, Jordan, in a heavy coat, and was headed for the door of their mobile home when the whole house started rocking. She quickly shoved her only child into the bathroom where they held hands. As the house started coming apart, both Weeze and her son were sucked out of the trailer while holding hands. Their grip broke, and Jordan never saw his mother again. He was found along a creek bank, across the street from his home. The little guy had three broken ribs, a swollen leg, and a bruised back. By the next day, he was released from the hospital. He went out with his grandmother to look for his mom. Rescue team searched with them when Jordan said, "I'm looking for my mom. You want to help me?" The little boy found belongings from their home and located his mother's car, but he couldn't find her. Sorry, this story affects me. The hard news of her death arrived 2 days later when the coroner was able to find her fingerprints. Identify her fingerprints. As a broken-hearted boy tried to comprehend it all, he said, "I should have held on tighter." Somehow this little boy, who had not yet graduated from kindergarten, felt responsibility for his mother's death. From this great tragedy, may we be reminded of the tenderness of a child's heart and determined to parent them in such a way they will not feel under undue burdens or responsibility for things that they cannot control. That story does affect all of us in different ways as we read it. But it gets our minds thinking about what it's like to be a parent. It also gets our minds thinking about what it's like to be a child. Every one of us is a child. Every one of us have a ma and a pa, parents one way or another. We might know them, we might not know them, but we still have parents. We are still children. Every one of us today, we're still children. As we read through this passage here in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, we think it's just for the ones that don't have full stature yet. Wrong answer. This morning's message applies to every one of us in some way. We had the original commandment from the Ten Commandments that was read to us out of Exodus 20. That same commandment is quoted also in Deuteronomy 5:16. Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 3 says this, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you observe them, and that it's a land that you're going to cross over, you're going over to possess." So still speaking to the Israelite people as they're getting ready to go into the promised land. Verse 2, "That you may fear the Lord your God and keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you. You and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged," it says. "Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey." It's being quoted here in Ephesians 6, but those are some promises specifically to, as Miller said in the opening, they were specifically to the Israelite people. Well, as we read it here in this morning's passage, he says that that was a promise. So that promise was to them, but there's still truth that applies to us here this morning. The first thing in this message, as a matter of fact, this message is entitled, "This is Right." Got it out of Ephesians 1. "For this is right." This morning's message, "This is Right." And the first point under that is to obey. To obey. The obey in a verb form is to comply with a command or carry out a command or an instruction. So it's an action. And I put in there the wording of that as well, as much as possible. As much as possible. We could have parents, or someone could have had parents that gave a command that was ungodly. And we do not want to adhere to an ungodly commandment. And as I was reading in my devotional time this morning in Acts 5, Peter was dealing with this specifically in verse 29. They had told him not to speak of you speak in Jesus' name. In verse 29 of Acts 5, Peter says, "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be a prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And we also, and so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him." And I was like, wow, that fits right in here. Obey as much as possible. If a parent gives you a command that is, again, contrary to God's word, we can't obey that. But we are still called to obey our parents. We are still called to carry that out. And in verse 1 there it says, "Children, obey your parents, for this is right." This is just what you're supposed to do. It seems as though today's culture has gotten this verse backwards. How many times have you heard parents obeying their children? You might be in town or wherever, but in town, etc., and the child might put out demands, and the parent would just give in because they might think or they might see that it's easier to give the children what they want. Truly, at that moment, it's probably easier just give in and give the child what they want or they desire. But that might not be for their good in the long run. As a matter of fact, it'll probably make their parenting job or responsibility even harder in the long run by letting their children be in charge now. Obey, children. We, as older children, I'm middle-aged, okay? You never know when you're middle-aged until you take your age and you double it and you get three digits, okay? I'm weeks away from that, okay? I'm middle-aged. So, I still am called to obey my parents. And I'm going to recommend to those of you all that don't have parents, because there's a handful in here as well, it still does all of us, regardless whether your parents are good, to obey your parents. Our parents taught us things. They taught us things. Obey our parents. It's a command to comply or command to carry out an instruction. The next point we're looking at is in verse 2, honor. Honor can be looked at in two perspectives, in a noun or in a verb form. Honor can be respect or great esteem. Verb might be regard with high respect. For example, we don't hear this much these days, but we should honor our president. You might not like him, you might like him. That's your choice. But we are to honor our president. We are to honor those that are in charge of us. If I was in the pew and Miller's are preaching, I would say you should honor the pastor. The ones that are in charge, you should have honor for. It's a respect. It's seen in high esteem. Like I said, you might not always agree with them. You might not always agree with the guy behind the pulpit. But if he's preaching God's word, you better agree with it. Okay? But we are called to honor. We are called to respect. Ephesians 6, 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise. This respect and honor that is being spoken of is to Christian parents. But what if your parents are not godly individuals that we have been looking at here in Ephesians? What if your parents were not adopted in the family of God like the ones that are being described in Ephesians verse 1 or chapters 1 and 2? And it talks about what we are like while we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And then it gets into talking about, you know, the earlier part of Ephesians as well, about how we are adopted into the family of God. We're grafted in. And we talked about how what a beautiful attribute that is to be chosen and to be brought in and to be adopted into God's family. But what if your parent or parents was not one of those? Well, I'm going to answer these questions with more questions. Jesus did that. Does God give us permission to only honor and obey our parents that are believers? Does God give us permission to honor and obey our parents when they have parented correctly? I think not. At the same time, it does not say to obey our parents if what they are asking us to do is contrary to God's word. We can still give them honor and respect them, but we do not want to be disobedient to God's word. We can still give them the honor and respect. Okay, that's God's word. So keep in mind that Paul here is talking to Ephesian church, which was living in a very godless society that was worshiping the goddess Diana, and she was a god of fertility. Well, we live in a godless society too. You don't have to walk very far outside your lands, right through Nashville and read the bulletin boards. Yeah, she saw them. You done heard her reaction. We live in a godless society. We live in a godless society. They live in a godless society. But we, part of the church, this letter was written to the church. This letter is calling people to honor and respect, honor and obey their parents. We are called, like I said this morning, we are called to honor and obey and respect our parents. It says there, this is the first commandment that has a promise. And he quotes part of that promise there in Ephesians 6, verse 3. He says that this promise may be well with you and that you may live long on earth. God has set this order up of the household when we are faithful and obedient to his plan and order. There are blessings. It is not a guarantee that if we obey and honor our parents, everything will go well and that we will live a long life. At the same time, I can say that if your parents are living a godly life and we honor them, that it will keep us from a lot of trouble in life. It will keep us from a lot of trouble in life. I know parents that have been wonderful parents and their children have chosen not to honor and respect their parents. I know them. You all probably do as well. This verse has been used wrongly. This verse has been used for people to say, well then, if your children had turned out this way, then you wasn't a good parent. I can't agree with that. And the reason I can't agree with that, I have seen children grow up under the same parents. And these children choose a godly life, and this one or two or however many don't. Did they parent differently? Oh, there's a different child who parent differently? No, they didn't. God has gives everyone a choice. But I do state this, that if we honor and we obey and we respect our parents, specifically if we have godly parents, we will have a longer life. A very high percent of the ones that I've talked to in prison is the fact that their leadership in the home was broken down. They didn't have godly parents. They didn't have parents that taught them to honor and respect. So with that breakdown, unfortunately, there goes society, and we can see how society goes, society went. But for the ones that have chosen to live life according to the commands and to honor and respect their parents, life does go well. Life does go well. Listen to what Proverbs 6 has to say. Some strong words here. Verses 20 to 29, my son, keep your father's command. Very similar to what we're talking about. We've been talking about parents. Here it says father's command. And do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law of light. Reproofs of instruction are a way of life to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For the means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his womb? Let me try again. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. This is an example here in Proverbs of someone that did not keep the father's command, or he forsook the law or what the mother was saying. This command would have been to stay away from such a person. Proverbs deals, I spend a lot of time dealing with this particular type of subject, tells you some people you need to stay away from. If you take the time to read through Proverbs, you'll see that very quickly. But if we listen, we obey our parents, they will tell us to stay away from that type of person. Don't come near them. Don't let her allure you with her eyes. Don't be pulled in. Don't be drawn in. See what else Proverbs has to say. Proverbs 23, verses 22 to 25 says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and do not sell it. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of righteousness will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. You know, that sounds like some happy parenting right there. You have children that listen to the father who begat you, and they don't despise mom, even when she gets old. We listen to her wisdom and instruction and understanding. Why does it do well to listen to our parents? Mom's 78. Dad will be 77 here on December 30th. You know, there's times when I get on the phone and I just call them up and say, hey, what? I want their advice. Why? Because they've been there. They was 49, almost 50 one time in their life. And I want their advice. And as you all know, and I'm beginning to realize more and more, one of these days I'm not going to pick up that phone and answer. One of these days I'm going to pick up that phone and There'll be no Maul. There'll be no Paul on the other end. And some of you all can relate to that. I picked up the phone one time. A policeman answered the phone. I said, "Where's Dad?" He said, "I don't know. Somebody's in the hospital." So I had to go see him in the hospital. That's another old story. But I had a taste of that one time already in my life when a police officer answers the phone. But it's something, it's a privilege, a luxury that I do have to be able to call up and get their advice because they've been there. But to those of you that don't have parents anymore, that are parents, we can still pass along that advice. And if you don't have children, such as Sharon and I, we still probably have a little bit of advice we can pass on to someone else. A little bit. When Paul wrote Ephesians, Paul also wrote Colossians. He has a lot of parallel. I paralleled it last time when we was talking about husbands and wives, and we can parallel it again in verse 20 of chapter 3 in Colossians. It says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing to the Lord." Notice the similarities there. Colossians 3:21 is what it gets into next. Before we did that, I got to introduce our next point. Our next point is provoke. So we have honor and obey and provoke. Do not provoke. Provoke means it's a verb. It's to stimulate or give rise. To stimulate or to incite. Another word that's used there is goad. It's like the spurs of your boots. You use a goad. Give the horse some giddy up. Don't provoke. This, but that provoking is to give something some giddy up or to stimulate or give rise. Do not provoke. And in Proverbs 3:21, which follows the 3:20, obviously, where it says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well and pleasing to the Lord." 3:21 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Our passage, Ephesians 6:4, says, "And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord." Years ago, my niece Alicia, who's now 20, whatever, 6, 7, yeah, she has two children, lives over in Kenya. I was picking on her like uncles do, right? She's sitting on my lap, and I was having fun. To my knowledge, she was having fun too. Until she looks at me, she says, "Uncle Dale, could you stop? I don't want to be grumpy." Okay, I was provoking her, wasn't I? But she was identifying something that she did not want to get to that place of wrath. Now, I don't know that she would actually got to that level. But she was identifying with something. And we're identifying it here this morning. Don't provoke your children to wrath. In other words, don't do something. Don't say something. Don't put something out there. It's going to make your children angry. How many times... I'm not a dad. It's time for me to speak, right? I got all the answers. How many times have we said something in a way that we should not have said? Ooh, I've done that to people, not even a child of mine. But it provoked a wrath or an anger in that child or in this other individual. Fathers, don't do that. Watch how you say things. Watch how you interact with them. Don't bring them to wrath. Don't turn them away. If you make your child angry at him, how much respect, how much honor is he going to want to give you? Honestly, not much. That's why with some of our leaders, we're having a problem honoring them. Okay, because we get angry at them. But it doesn't change the command. We are still required to honor them. We still should honor them. We still should honor our parents. Fathers, don't provoke your parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Gently and friendly reproof. Admonish means to scold. Yes, children do need to receive correction, but that is not abuse. I heard somebody say recently that God put just the right amount of padding back here for a correction device. And I quote. Proverbs 23:13-14 says, "Do not withhold correction from a child. For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." I have said already, correction should leave a mark here, not a mark here. Okay, correction should leave a mark here on the heart and not physical mark on the body. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ooh, what about this verse? Why, it sounds like a guarantee. If I put my child on the track and the tracks are going straight, he's going to end up at the right location. I think we talked about that earlier. Children still have their own choice. And there has been parents that have beat themselves up. There have been people that beat parents up with that verse alone. You didn't do something right. Well, yeah, tell me one parent that got it all right anyway. If you, as a parent, did get it all right, I would like to talk to you. It would be interesting knowing how you did it. But, they didn't get it all right. But don't beat yourself up. If you trained your child in the way you go and they don't listen, heed, obey, we have to recognize, even though it's not easy, we have to recognize they have a choice. I have another story here to read. Attention deficit disorder is a serious problem that affects many families. In recent years, this disorder has become more readily recognized and diagnosed so that the numerous children have gained and needed medical help. Unfortunately, though, some children who don't have this disorder have been diagnosed with it because their behavior is contrary to the norm. A word of caution about this abuse appeared in the Kudzu comic strip. As a child sought to counsel from her minister, she told of her brother's non-existent attention span, his propensity to be easily distracted, his disruptive behavior, and his inability to complete his schoolwork. She then asked, is this what they call deficit disorder? The pastor said, yes. He doesn't get enough attention from his parents. Some children are simply suffering from a deficit of parental attention, and medicine cannot cure that problem. But what if our parents were or are not godly individuals? What if we are older in life and we did not obey or we did not honor our parents? How do we live this out when we might feel anger or bitterness or even hatred towards our parents? These feelings come from either our parents not being who they should have been or from us not being the children that we should have been. So, maybe it's time for parents to possibly ask for forgiveness for not being the parents that they should have been. Maybe your parents are not living anymore, or do not want or to have a desire to ask for forgiveness. Excuse me, you can still forgive them anyway. No, it probably will not be easy, but we can still forgive our parents even though they are not asking for forgiveness. When forgiveness happens, it is the beginning of true freedom. Regardless, if we as children have not been obedient and honor our parents, we should. Maybe it's time to ask forgiveness. So I repeat, when forgiveness happens, it is the beginning of true freedom. So this morning, we are challenged. I am challenged to obey my parents, to honor my parents. Dads, we're challenged not to provoke our children to wrath. We are challenged to train them up in the way that is right. And the challenge I put out there is, if we blew it as parents, if we blew it as children, ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. And my challenge is, even if you still don't have parents with you, if your parents are still not around, ask for forgiveness anyway. Bring it to God and ask for forgiveness, because there's the beginning of true freedom. And then, as I close, My mind goes to Hebrews. Hebrews 12, feel free to turn there, and let's read, you can follow along. Hebrews 12, verses 4 to 11. Hebrews 12, verses 4 to 11. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father and addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children." I put in there. "For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all." Verse 9, "Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." And to that, I have a simple concluding statement. Thank you, God, for loving us. Let's pray. God, I have not been the son I should have been, obviously to my earthly parents at times, but also to you, my heavenly Father. So God, please forgive me for the ways I did not respect or obey my parents as I should have, and the ways that I have not obeyed and respected you as I should have. Please forgive me. There's been times I haven't obeyed you as I should have. I have not honored you as I should have. And my earthly father has given me correction, which I have deserved, and I've deserved some correction that I did not receive from him. And you, my heavenly Father, have given me correction as well. And as your word just said there in Hebrews, it's not easy. Correction isn't easy, but we need it. And Lord, my response to you is just like I stated in the message just a moment ago. Is my response to the correction you give me is just, Lord, simply thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. Lord, I just ask that throughout this week that we will take seriously the call from this morning's message. Those of us who are children that still have parents, that we will obey them and that we will honor them, that we will respect them. For those that are parents, that you will help them to be parents that will be worthy of honor and obedience and respect. Help them to know how to correct. Not to correct in anger, but correct in love. That's how you correct. You correct in love. But then you have the perfect love, and all I can say to that is thank you for having the perfect love. Because in our humanity, it's hard to do that. And then, Lord, may all of us take seriously the calling that you have called on our life to ask for forgiveness where forgiveness is needed. I pray for strength for those this morning that need to go and ask for forgiveness, whether it's to their children, whether it's to their parents, or whether it's to you. It takes a stronger person to admit that they're wrong. It takes a stronger person to admit that I made a mistake, that I just blew it, and to ask for forgiveness. But Lord, I just ask you would just empower us to be that strong person to make the wrongs right, so that we can know the true freedom that forgiveness brings. Thank you. We gave you the praise, Lord. We love you. We love you, Almighty God. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Lawrence?
In the green book, 490. Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His bosom gather, nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. Neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord His children sever. Unto them His grace He showeth, and their sorrows all He knoweth. Though He giveth or He taketh, God His children ne'er forsaketh. His the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy.
Thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Any closing comments here this morning? Yes, we could have another whole message on how the family structure has broken down. Yes, yes, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy today. If nothing else, let's stand for a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, I just ask you would just bless everyone here this week. Bless them in a special way. Protect them. Protect them for the evil plans that Satan would love to kill, steal, and destroy in their lives this week. Lord, I just want to ask in Jesus' name that you will make every one of us, whether in here or whether on the phone, more than conquerors this week in Jesus' name. Maybe be victorious in Jesus' name. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.